Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we are getting ready for the start of Lent, it is fitting for us to reflect on what we are really here for. What is our purpose? And realigning ourselves to the things that matter most, and in doing God's will in our life. And when Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, he either hate one, love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other, he meant it. Lent gives us the opportunity to reflect on why, what is really important in our lives, what people or things are pulling us away from God. By giving up things, we deprive ourselves of the things of man and focus on the things of God. Our gospel tells us not to worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into their barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Now, I don't know about you, but I would surely be nice not to have to worry about anything, not to have to deal with the things or the worries in life, just to let go and let God. But we all know our human nature is just that. It's human. As we undergo the trials of life, and we will try to fix them ourselves, try to control what happens to us, not to worry about how much we have and how much money we have, and worrying about that, and decide what people and things make us happy in life. We like to take control, and we like to push God to the side and say, God, I've got this, when in fact we should be saying, God, take the wheel. In our first reading, Isaiah says that even if a woman should forget her child, even then God will not forget us. God is there in every step of our life. He has planted us right here where we are for a reason. He has given trials in our life for a reason. He has given us blessings in our lives for a reason. All of this for his greater glory. So when we try to circumvent what God is doing in our lives, we circumvent the purpose he has for us. We try to derail the good he is preparing for us. We will not fully understand what our purpose is until we're on the other side. And then we'll say, now I get it. My life was made just for me and no one else. I'd like to share with you an experience I had when I was on retreat at Manresa in Convent, Louisiana. It's a retreat house for men in Louisiana. It's run by the Jesuits using the Ignatius spirituality form of prayer and meditation. It's a silent retreat that allows you to detach from the world and enter into prayer wholly and intently. Well, last year, the retreat master challenged us to pray the rosary and to pray whatever mysteries of our choice. And in each decade, he asked us to dig deep into that mystery and become part of that mystery. See the surroundings, he said. Smell the air. Kick the dirt. And become part of the scene. Now, I want to say here, I don't normally discuss my prayer life. I feel like that's between me and God, and it's our personal thing. But the Spirit has moved me to share this story with you for whatever reason, so bear with me as we get into it. First, I'll start by saying there's three levels of prayer. And I'll give you a little brief description of each so you hopefully get an understanding where I'm leading you and how it all of this came about. The first level is the lowest level. It's called purgative way. This is usually the basic level of prayer. It's the Hail Marys, the Our Fathers, Novenas. This is where we learn to pray and where most of us pray. We offer up our petitions and pray for things and for people. In most cases, this lower level, purgative way, is actually the entry level into the next level, which is the illuminative way. Now, the illuminative way of prayer goes a little bit deeper. It may start with purgative prayer, and through deep consciousness becomes even deeper in prayer and become part of the prayer. You become part of the prayer. The mind becomes more and more enlightened as to spiritual things. Keep this level in mind because this is where I'll be taking you in the story. Then the highest level of prayer is the unitive way. This is the highest level of prayer where the person becomes one with God in the presence of God. Those who have their minds so drawn away from all temporal things that they enjoy great peace. They are neither agitated by various desires nor moved by any great passion. They have their minds chiefly fixed on God, and their attention is turned either always or very frequently to Him. Now with the story, I decided to pray to Sorrowful Mysteries and to stop at each decade and reflect on what was going on at that point in time. Just make a point here that you see how we started using the purgative way of the rosary, and eventually through meditation and concentration, we went into the meditative part of the illuminative way. And one thing that the retreat master told us when he gave us the directions, he says, we were told to dig deep enough into the mystery that we could find a place to cry. He said, some part where you experience the mystery so much that you emotionally become part of it. So on with the story. The first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden. I put myself in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus and the apostles Peter, James, and John. It was a cool night, and the air was fresh. We were full from the Last Supper meal, and our eyes were heavy. I remember Jesus going off by himself and asking us to stay awake and pray. It was so sad when he found us sleeping. I felt like I had left him down. I felt sad that I couldn't even complete the simple task of praying. My heart felt saddened, but no tears. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. I was starting to get a little deeper in this prayer. This was a terrible scene. The scourging took place was horrendous. Each lash of the whip seemed to take part of me with it. I was so close that I felt the splatter of the blood. My heart at this point was falling out of my chest, but no tears. The third sorrowful mystery, the crowning with thorns. Jesus was cloaked with a garment to cover up the terrible scourging. Then the soldiers placed a crown with what looked like spikes more than thorns on Jesus' head. The thorns dug deep into his skull, tearing flesh and penetrating through his forehead. Oh, how I felt each and every one of those thorns, but still no tears. The fourth sorrowful mystery, the carrying of the cross. As they led Jesus out into the streets, out of nowhere came this heavy beam cross, made out of the most solid wood I had ever seen. Because it was so perfect and the closeness of his rings, the cross was heavier than normal wood. They placed this on Jesus' shoulder, and its weight was almost too much for him to bear. But Jesus composed his wobbly legs and adjusted the cross to the point where he was actually embracing it. Then I noticed tears, not mine, but from the cross. The cross was crying. At this point, I didn't know what to think. A crying cross? Then Jesus, with loving eyes, looked at the cross and asked, "Why are you crying?" Then the cross began to explain. Many years ago, God planted me in the field and told me he had a special plan for me. I had a purpose that only God knew, and I was proud he had picked me for whatever the plan may be. The cross continued. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I was determined to be the best tree in the field. When the drought came, I dug my roots deep to find enough water to continue the growth while other trees around me died. When the winds blew, it was those deep roots that kept me from blowing over like the other trees with shallow roots. When the sun came and was shining, I stretched out my branches far and wide to absorb as much as I could, and my leaves were abundant. I gloried when the rains fell to wash away all the dust and impurities that obstructed my absorption of the sunlight, and it watered my roots, allowing me to soak up all the nutrients that I could to ensure my trunk, my bases, my core was the strongest and most perfect of all the trees in the field. We continued down the streets on our way to Golgotha, and the tree continued. Then the day came. The men started to cut me down. How painful that was, but I endured, knowing that the day had finally come when the plan of God had for me would be fulfilled. I could finally see what I had worked so hard for. The men cut with difficulty because of the thickness of my bark, because of the concentration of my growth rings that made the axe, as sharp as it was, work extra hard to penetrate my massive structure. But I succumbed to the woodman's will, and they began to cut me into pieces and shape me into a form, into beams, into a structure that I wasn't familiar with. Then when I was placed on your shoulder, I realized that with all that extra effort I put into being strong, all the trials I endured, all the droughts and the strong winds that created me into this heavy beam on your shoulders, all this is only putting more pain on you. If I wouldn't have tried so hard, I wouldn't be so heavy for you to carry. Jesus just smiled and continued on. The fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw them remove the cross from Jesus and lay him upon it and drive the nails through his hands and his feet. They lifted the cross, and his body shook as all his weight shifted onto the nails that were in his hands and feet. He looked first to the heavens as to give thanks, and then he looked down from the cross, and the first thing he saw was his mother. Her eyes were full of tears, but her face was resolute. Even though she wept for the loss of her son, she knew it was all in God's plan. At this point, Jesus looked over his shoulder to the cross and said, "Do you see now why you were chosen? If you didn't endure all the things you did in life, if you didn't do your best to be strong, you wouldn't have been able to hold me and the sins of the world. You would have broken, and then my Father's plan wouldn't have been fulfilled." Then the cross smiled. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I hope you can see the correlation of this story in our gospel. God plants each and every one of us where we are for a reason and a purpose. God depends on us to fulfill our life even through the trials and tribulations of life. He counts on us and uses us to fit in his plan. So don't shortcut or take for granted anything God has put in your life, the good things and the bad. Make the most of what you have, where you are, realizing there is a plan greater than any that you could ever dream up. Use this time of Lent that the church has set aside for us. Bring yourselves closer to this loving God. And by your Lenten fast, deny yourselves of worldly things and truly seek God and the plan he has for you. Dig deep into prayer and speak to him. He will not disappoint. Brothers and sisters, no matter if you are a tree planted in a field or a thorn bush, God has a plan for you. And the one thing you can truly count on, God has the perfect plan. And in that perfect plan, he loves you. His love is unending and perfect. He loves the sinner the same as the saint. But which one will spend eternity with him? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.